All right. Well, good morning. If we have not met, my name is Jason Schultz, and I have the privilege of being one of the pastors here. I usually hang out with the kids. Like, I'm always like with the kids, so you might not see me here much, but we're going to be going through Galatians chapter 5 today. But before we dive into the word, we're going to cover a few announcements. Continue to pray for Bill and Vi. Bill is recovering from his stroke. He's at home now. For those who don't know that, he's at home, and he's making gradual improvements every week. But it's measured really in weeks rather than days. You know, it takes a lot to recover from a stroke, so your prayers are much appreciated. Also for Vi too, because caring for him at home, it's more work for her now, right? So the prayers for them is great. So, and then also be praying for all of our missionaries that were in Ukraine. Most of them are now out of Ukraine, and they're in bordering nations, and some have even flown back to the U.S. now. Prayers for them would be much appreciated, and of course for Ukraine as well, and for that nation. For updates on the missionaries, you can go to horizonindy.org/Ukraine, and I think that'll be on the screens for you there. So that's horizonindy.org/Ukraine, and that's just, you know, updates on the missionaries there. So if you want to take out your bulletins real quick, we're going to highlight a few things in your bulletin. All right, so next week is we spring forward 1 hour, so that's that one night where we lose an hour of sleep. That's rough, right? So, prepare yourself for that accordingly, you know. So not like the storm last night didn't wake up some of you. It sort of woke me up. But we have the SNS Ministry Hymn Sing coming up for those who love hymns and would like to be a part of that. That's on March 18th from 7 to 9 in the Fellowship Hall. And you can bring a snack if you'd like to share there. And there's also opportunities to serve right now in Children's Ministry. If you have a heart to reach young hearts and young minds, then you can serve with the kids there. So we also have a video for you today. So please check out this video.
We are in a season of darkness like we've never seen. Millions of people overwhelmed in confusion and consumed with fear. What the world needs now more than ever is a message of hope. And the truth is, there is no greater message of hope than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Imagine what would happen if the body of Christ were to join together on one day to proclaim the gospel to the entire world. Just think how that message would spread like a tidal wave, with Christians everywhere using their voices on their platforms and in their languages. Online, in person, on social media, and in the streets, sharing the most important message anyone could ever hear. By joining our voices together, we would create a collective megaphone that would lift the name of Jesus above all the noise, to flood the world with the gospel in a way that could not be ignored. I want to invite you to join us in a worldwide day of evangelism, declaring March 16th as 316 Day, based on John 3:16, where Christians around the world join together to tell the world that God so loved.
So this idea of 316 missions has been on my heart since last year. Bill and I went out to a conference out in California. I think it was like in October or November of last year for Carrie Child Pastors. That idea was brought to Bill and I, and we were like super excited about this. So this has the Bill stamp of approval, right, for us as a church. But he's like, yeah, share that with the body, Jason. So we've waited to share this with you. But this, the idea is that on March 16th, there's no national holiday, there's no major event, so we want to claim that day as John 3:16 Day, and as a church body, that we would share the gospel on that day. And there's lots of ways to do that, right? So if you're on social media, you could do that on your Facebook account. You could just simply post John 3:16 on Facebook, or Instagram, or Twitter, or TikTok. You could do a video of you sharing the gospel with your family and friends. You could share a personal testimony, how Jesus has changed your life. And maybe you're not on social media. You're like, yeah, no, I'm not on any of those platforms. Okay, that's fine. You know, you could just share with your neighbors. You could share with your friends by talking to them. You could even do the old-fashioned approach of, if you want to, which is totally cool. You could write letters or postcards to unsaved family members and friends and pray for them as they get that postcard, just to share the gospel. So this world's crazy right now, is it not? And the world needs to know that Jesus loves them and that he died for them. And, you know, every one of us is called to fulfill the Great Commission. It's not just pastors, not just missionaries, but you, every one of you, the son and daughter of the King of God, King of Heaven, and he's called you to share the gospel. And so I love sharing the gospel with someone that I wake up and if I can share the gospel with someone any given day, that just wakes me up and I'm excited. So I want to share that with you. We'll have more about that for next week. But if you want to learn more about it, you can go to, there's a flyer in your bulletin. I probably should have said that like 2 minutes ago. But there's a flyer in your bulletin. And you can go to, it's a 316mission.info. And you can learn all about that. This is something that we're coming alongside other churches that are doing that as well around the world. So, all right. So if you have your Bible, please turn to Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to open in prayer. And then the guys will come forward and pass out Bibles as soon as we pray. So, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you for how you do set us free. Lord, through your word, we know you better. And through your word, Lord, we know ourselves better, too. And I pray, Lord, that you would open up your word to us now as you speak to my friends here, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you need a Bible, raise your hand, and one of these studly dudes will hand you a Bible. All right? Yeah, there you go. Even Dave. All right. Sorry, I'm used to teaching kids, so I'm just kind of random at times. So, you know, all right, just prepare yourself accordingly. So, all right, so Galatians, we're going through the book of Galatians. We've gone through chapters 1-4, and I love the book of Galatians because it sets us free from just the bondage of the law and a legalistic Christianity. So far we have learned that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, right? And that we've learned that Christ and his gospel is all sufficient for man's salvation. We do not need to add to the gospel work. When he died on the cross, he said what Bill says all the time, right? Tetelestai, it is finished. It is done. Christ paid the price for our sins. We do not add to his work. In fact, when we try to add to the work of Jesus Christ, we are cheapening what he did for us, right? So we cannot add to that. One of the key verses in the book of Galatians is Galatians 3:11. And that'll be on the screen for you. It says, "But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith." All right? Howard Hendricks. How many of you ever heard of Howard Hendricks? You guys ever heard that name? He's a famous Bible expositor and teacher. One of his favorite sayings is that in every book of the Bible, there's a hook for the book. In every book of the Bible, there's a key verse or key passage by which the whole book hangs on. And I would encourage you as one of your pastors to take time this year. It's early in the year. It's March, right? So we have many more months ahead of us. And I encourage you to read through your entire Bible this year from cover to cover. And as you do so, look for those hooks. Try to find those main verses, those main passages that summarize the rest of that book. But Galatians 3:11 is one of those verses. That no man, no woman is declared righteous and holy before a holy God by keeping the law. And why is that? Because we can't do it. Over and over again in the Old Testament, Israel covenanted with God. They promised, God, we're going to keep your law. We're going to do it. And did they? No. They failed. Now, God kept his part of it, right? God was so faithful. He always kept his promises. We as people, we haven't lived up to it. We can't. I can't live up to it. Nobody can, right? So, but the just shall live by faith. Those who are declared righteous before God are those who live by faith. So a brief outline, this is where we're going today, a brief outline in the book of Galatians is, first of all, we're going to see that we're called to stand fast in Christian liberty, which is verses 1-6. And then in verses 7-15, we're going to see that love fulfills the law, or is the fulfillment of the law. And lastly, in verses 16-26, we're going to see that we are called to live and walk in the Spirit. So I always like to know where I'm going, so this is where we're going today. And so if you would turn to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to pick up in verse 1 here. Okay, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he's a debtor to keep the whole law. You've become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace." Those are strong statements that Paul is making there, are they not? Every one of those statements, it's like a concluding statement. It's incredible. All right, and then in verse 5, it says, "For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." So now Paul is going to conclude his corrective teaching to the churches of Galatia. Chapters 1 through 4, Paul is correcting their thinking, their theology, right? He's correcting their mindset on how salvation works and what Christ has done for them. And here he begins to conclude that teaching, and he says, "Therefore," or stand fast, "therefore, based on everything I've said to you, stand fast in the liberty that Christ has made you free," past tense. You are set free from the bondage and the requirements and the expectations of the law. And do not be entangled. Don't go back to the bondage or the entanglement of the law, the striving of the law. A famous reverend once said, "Liberty is the soul's right and ability to breathe." Say that again. Liberty is the soul's right and ability to breathe. Walking in liberty requires intentionality and effort, right? For example, right now, a present-day example is Ukraine. Are they not working hard for their liberty? They're fighting hard for their liberty right now against tyranny, right, and against oppression. Paul exhorts believers to stand strong in their liberty, that God, that he did that finished work for them, and that we are to stand fast in that liberty through faith in Jesus Christ. And then we see here in verses 2 and 3 that if we try to go back under a legal relationship with God or legalism, by, okay, if I keep the law, then I'll be justified before God. He says that you're a debtor to keep the whole law of God, every bit of it. And the problem with that is, again, we can't keep it, right? God's holy law is in direct correlation to his holy character. So the law shows the character of God. And in keeping the law, it's not something that we do outwardly, it's something we have to do inwardly. Our thoughts, our attitudes, our actions towards God and others all have to be totally perfect at all times. Can we live up to that? No. The whole point of the law was to point us that we needed a Savior. It was, no, you can't live up to this. The point of the law was to point us to a rescuer who would redeem us from our sinful nature and set us free. So believers, I would encourage you to remember this. We do not work for salvation. We work from salvation, right? There are still works that he wants us to do. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, right? That he has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But we don't do those good works for salvation. We do them from salvation because we are saved. So let's pick up in, one more thing. It says here, this phrase here, it says, if you become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. That's a strong statement, is it not? Man, often we think about falling from grace when we fall into gross immorality. We go, well, that person's fallen from grace when they've walked away from the church or they've fallen into sin in some way. No, it's used in Scripture here as someone who tries to go back under the law to be justified before God. He said, you're falling away from the grace that God has freely given you through Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, we don't want to do that, right? We don't even want to create a law to ourselves that we have to keep. Personal testimony here, in my zeal, my early 20s, all right, Lord, I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock every morning. I'm going to spend an hour and a half in the Word and in prayer. I'm going to fast twice a week, Lord. I'm going to run hard after you. And did I keep that all the way through until now? No. No. No, I hit that snooze, I'd sleep through my quiet time at times. I didn't fast when I said I would fast, right? Because even when we keep a law to ourselves, we fall short of it, right? But that's not how we are saved. That's not how we, you know, mature or progress in our Christianity. It's not through legalism, right? It's through grace, through faith. So let's look at verses 7 through 12 here. It says, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you and in the Lord that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his own judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off." Whoa. That's pretty salty, Paul. All right? Man. So he's saying, you ran well. You were running hard after Jesus. Who's hindering you, right? Well, Paul knows the answers, right? It's these Judaizers, these legalistic Christians that want to bring them back under the law, saying, okay, it's faith in Christ plus all the Old Testament commandments, all 613. That's a lot to remember, right? Can you imagine trying to remember 613 commandments you got to keep outwardly and inwardly perfectly at all times? That's a heavy yoke, right? It's a heavy weight. He's saying this persuasion does not come from God. This teaching, this ideology didn't come from God. It came from man. There's a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. A little bit of legalism in your life can hinder your progress. A little bit of legalism in the church can affect the whole church. That's why we need to stay under grace. He says, stand fast in liberty. And so Paul also so strongly dislikes this teaching of Judaism or the Judaizers. He says, I wish that they would even cut themselves off. He's saying, if they think that cutting off a little bit of the flesh, right, is going to make you holy before God, if you think that's going to do it, then hey, cut the whole thing off. That's how strong Paul is opposed to this teaching and this heresy, right? And so we need to make sure that we keep the gospel pure. We do not add to it. And that's what Paul is standing upon here. He's making sure that they don't add to the gospel message. Let's look at verses 13 through 15. "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." So again, he's saying here, we're called to liberty, but we don't want to use our liberty as an opportunity to walk in the flesh. And he's going to talk about that later in this chapter. But, you know, even though we're saved by grace through faith, that's not a license to sin. That's not a license to go and live under the works of the flesh or to live out in the flesh. But instead, because we are set free, now we can really love and serve others. And love is the fulfillment of the law. Faith expresses itself best through love. I'll say that again. Faith expresses itself best through love. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, abide, faith, hope, and love, right? But the greatest of these is what? Is love. Why? Because love is the expression of your faith. You can actually do a little bit of a check. You're like, okay, how is my faith today? How am I walking with the Lord? You can test that by how you're loving God and loving others. Because that is the outflow of your faith and your love. I'm sorry, the outflow of your faith and your hope is love. How we're loving others and who are made in the image of God is very important. And then he challenges the believers here. It says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So, as a children's pastor, I got to say, no biting. Okay, no biting each other. That's not allowed. We don't allow the two-year-olds or right in that room over there, second room from the left. No biting, right? All right? And no devouring, right? He's saying if we treat each other like this with our words, with our attitudes, our actions, if we're biting and devouring one another, tearing each other apart, that's not how the Lord wants us to act, right? Right? Beware lest you be consumed by one another. That's a good warning there. There's going to be a verse on the screen for you here. It says Matthew 22, verse 37. And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So here Jesus is answering a Pharisee who was a lawyer, right? So this guy's like super schooled in the law, right? He's saying, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He said, to love God with all that you are, right? And love your neighbor as yourself. And when we are loving God and loving others, that is the fulfillment of the law. But how do we do that? Like, how do you really love God with all of your heart? It's like, whoa, that's a lot. All of your heart, all of your passion, all your desires, all of your mind, all of your strength. How do you do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's look at verse 16. This is how we do it, right? This is how we love God in that way. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We'll pause there for a moment. This is probably the third key verse, in my opinion, in the book of Galatians, is verse 16, right? The first hook for the book of Galatians, I think, is Galatians 2:20, right? For we are crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of Man, who gave himself for me and died for me, right? That's the first hook for the book of Galatians. Now, the second one is, you know, Galatians 3:11, right? The just shall live by faith. And now, this is the third one, I think, that walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how do we love God and love others the way he wants us to? Well, we walk in the Spirit, right? And we will not walk in the flesh. But how do we walk in the Spirit, and what does that mean, right? So Bill quotes this verse. How often do you think Bill quotes this verse? Almost every message, right? This is one of Bill's go-to verses, right? Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, what does that mean, and how do we do it? Well, number one, it assumes that the Holy Spirit is in your life. This epistle, this letter was written to believers, right? And so it assumes that the Holy Spirit is in your life. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, and you've believed in him, right, that his death, burial, and resurrection, the Holy Spirit is in your life, number one. Number two, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means that we live under the influence of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. When the Holy Spirit says, hey, don't say that, he convicts us, hey, don't say that, don't go there, don't look at that, don't treat others that way. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, we listen. And then when he says, hey, I want you to go there, I want you to do this, I want you to speak to that person, I want you to pray for that person, right? We are to live under the influence and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. And then as we do that, day by day, we yield, we surrender to the working of the Holy Spirit, we begin to pattern our lives after that. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. You know, walking in the Spirit for a believer should be as natural as breathing. How many of you today said, okay, I need to breathe, keep breathing. Don't forget, breathing's the key. If you want to stay alive, breathe, breathe. No, we just naturally do that, right? Well, for a believer, we should also learn, and it takes time, right? But we need to learn just to walk in the Spirit where it's as natural as breathing, where we pattern our lives after the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, is that easy? No, it's not easy. Look at verse 18. I'm sorry, 17. Verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So even though the Holy Spirit is in your life as a believer, there's also this other part of you called the flesh, right? This natural man, right? This natural, you know, you call it your earth suit, you know, that we live in. And it has tendencies, right? It has tendencies that are opposed to God's Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at the works of the flesh in a moment. But they're nasty. They're not good, right? And they are contrary to one another. The flesh is battling against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And when we're living under the influence of the flesh, we don't do the things that the Lord wants us to do or that we want to do. But when we are yielding to the Holy Spirit, when we are led by the Spirit, verse 18, we're not under the law because we're naturally going to fulfill the law as we're walking in the Spirit. All right, let's look at verses 19 through 21. And these are not easy verses, so prepare your heart accordingly, all right? Okay, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident. They're clearly seen, right? Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I tell you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So these are the works of the flesh. This is what naturally comes out of the natural man, right? If someone doesn't have Christ in their life and they are a non-believer, this is what you're going to see, right? These are the works that the fleshly man just walks in, that practices. You can do a study through each one of those. We don't have time today to do that, to dive into what each one of these words mean. However, they're a pretty convicting list. You know, adultery, right? We know what that is, right? That's having sex with someone who's not your spouse, if you're married. Fornication is having sex outside of marriage. Uncleanness, lewdness, that has the idea of doing things that are sexually perverse or sexual immorality. Lewdness has the idea of speech, right? Having double meanings or sexual innuendos. Sorcery has the idea of witchcraft and doing drugs. Hatreds, contentions, that's like fighting, you know, fighting with each other, being contentious. Jealousies, outburst of wrath. So this is a pretty hard list here. Selfish ambition, right? Selfishness. And drunkenness. And this describes here as those who practice such things. The idea that the word there in the original language for practice means those who habitually, regularly walk in these behaviors in an unrepentant attitude. It doesn't refer to a believer who has a lapse of judgment or falls into sin, you know, and then repents and walks away from that. That's not who this is addressing. This is addressing somebody who habitually, regularly, always walks in this pattern and ignores the promptings of the Holy Spirit and even their conscience saying, stop doing that. And even though we are saved by grace through faith as believers, we do not have permission to walk in the works of the flesh, right? We don't. A lot of churches don't want to teach grace. They don't want to teach grace because, like, oh, if we teach grace without legalism, what if the flock falls into immorality or sin? Well, here, Paul knows that thought and says, no. Should we sin? Should we continue in sin that grace should abound? What's the answer? Certainly not. God forbid. No. No. He says, use your liberty as an opportunity to serve and love one another, not indulge in the flesh. There'll be a verse on the screen there for you. Romans 6, verses 11 through 14. This is a great passage. So good. I love it. So Romans 6, verse 11 says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So good, right? Right? He has set us free by sending the Holy Spirit inside of us. He has set us free from the bondage of the law and from sin itself. We are no longer slaves of sin, but we are sons and daughters of the kingdom of God. Amen? Right? So we no longer have to walk in these things anymore. All right. So let's finish up the chapter here now. And he's going to contrast the works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. But those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. So the idea of the flesh is that this naturally is produced like a factory. You know, the flesh just produces these things. While, and this is what comes out of it, the fruit is a little bit different. The fruit of the Spirit, right, are attributes that are in line with God's character and God's heart, right? So there's a great study. You don't have time today to dive into it, but if you're taking notes, I encourage you to go to John 15, right, John chapter 15. And for those who, most of you probably already know, right, it talks about abiding in Christ, right? And as each one of us has a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, as we're spending time in his presence, through being in the word, by being in prayer, by being in praise at home, quietly with him, or, you know, it was beautiful weather. Yesterday was it not just a beautiful day in Indiana? It was like awesome, you know? And I went through a prayer walk. There's a, behind my neighborhood, there's like there's a park, and I'm just walking back there and just fellowshipping with the Lord, and it was just beautiful, right? But as we abide in our love relationship with Christ, as we're hanging out with Jesus, the more time we spend with him, what naturally comes out of our life is the fruit of the Spirit, right? Right? We do become like those we hang out with. You know, we are to choose our friends, our company wisely. And the person we really want to hang out with the most with is who? Is Jesus. The more time we spend with Jesus, this is the fruit that comes out of our lives. Another great study is it's called Abiding in Christ by Andrew Murray. How many of you guys ever read Andrew Murray? Love Andrew Murray. Love the guy. He's like one of my mentors. I've read through a lot of his books. There's a book called Humility by Andrew Murray. Oh, man. It'll crush your soul, but it's so good. I mean, it'll humble you. At least it humbled me in my teenage years. I read through that. But a lot of his books are very good. But he has a book called Abiding in Christ by Andrew Murray. Very good book about this topic. But you want to see this fruit in our lives. But in order to see that fruit in verse 24, we do need to do this. It says, for those who are Christ, those who belong to Christ, have crucified, put to death the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, it also could be translated, if the Spirit is in you and lives in you, then walk in the Spirit. There'll be a verse on the screen there for you as well. Philippians 2:13. I love this verse. This verse comforts my heart like every day. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. What does that mean, right? It means that as we are walking in this love relationship with Christ, we're abiding in Christ, trying to take time to spend with him, to hang out with him. It is he who works in you. It is him doing the work. Salvation is God's work. He's the one who saves. And he's also the one who sanctifies us. It is always his work. And all we're doing is abiding and yielding and surrendering to the work of God in our lives. He gives us the desire and the ability to do his will. It's like, okay, wait a second. If God's the one that gives me, first he gives me the desire, and then he also gives me the ability. It's like, then what's my responsibility? It's just yielding. It's just hanging out. Christianity is not so much about striving and straining to muscle out my Christianity. Okay, I got to keep this. I got to do it in my own strength. No, my friends, it's not about that. It's just about hanging out with Jesus, falling in love with him, abiding in him. And he's the one who works in you. Both gives you the desire and the ability to do his will, which is so sweet. It kind of sets us free, right, from trying to do it in our own strength, in our own ways. So, and then there in verse 26, it says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. And as you're walking with the Lord and he starts, you know, moving in your life and you're like, hey, I'm seeing more fruit in my life by spending time with Jesus and abiding in Christ. I'm seeing these fruits come out of my life. It says, don't be conceited. Don't be like, yeah, look at me. I'm loving people now. Yep. I got joy. I got peace. You know, like, you know, check me out, you know. No, don't become conceited. Or if you see like you see a brother or sister in Christ go, man, I see God's Spirit so clearly in their life. God's like using them in a powerful way. Don't be envious. Go, oh man, God's really using that person and God's not using me. No. Don't become envious of them, right? Because it's God. Remember, it's his work in your life and in their life, right? He gets the glory. So don't become, you know, conceited or don't compare yourself with others. Comparison is always a dangerous thing, right? You know? Like last week, Tracy Gray teaching, I'm like, oh, I got to follow Tracy Gray. Oh, I can't do that, you know? And I go, what am I doing? It's not about Tracy Gray, you know? Even though he's a great man, you know, it's about Jesus. And it's about you. It's about his people, right? We can't compare ourselves with ourselves. That's carnality. It's just about keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ and running hard after him and abiding in him. So, My brothers and sisters, I would encourage you to stand fast, stand strong in the liberty where Christ has set you free. But don't be entangled again under the bondage of a law that from the Old Testament commandments or a law that you put on yourself to strive to be a great person. No, God has set you free. Run hard after him in love. Understand that love is the fulfillment of the law. That as we are loving God and loving others, we are fulfilling what God wants us to do. And then understand that although we are at liberty to walk by grace through faith, it's not a liberty to indulge in the flesh, but rather to be set free from that and to walk in the Spirit. And you will not fulfill the desires of your flesh. So, all right. Well, let's close today in prayer. And the worship team will come up and the guys serving communion, if you'd also come up. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much, Lord, that you are the one who has set us free from the bondage of the law and the striving of all that. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would cause us to abide closely with you in a love relationship, and you would produce these fruits in our lives, Lord. And Lord, that you would do a mighty work in our hearts this day and bless this bread and this juice to us. We pray all this in Jesus' name.